also joined by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hi there, Scott.
Good morning, everybody.
Mayor Fung, part of your message is that you hope to do for Rhode Island what you've done for Cranston. You point to economic development at places like Chapel View and Garden City. Those are private developments. So what specifically have you done to help foster job growth there and elsewhere in the city?
Yeah, and those are two areas that really I've had the opportunity to sit down, cut through the red tape with both of the developers. You know, God rest his soul, Mr. Capuano, who had just passed away in Chapel View. And then when they had the new management company, Wilder Companies, out of Massachusetts, come in for Garden City, we work with them on their visions, implementing their visions, making sure that we have gave them the flexibility through ordinance changes to implement their vision, working with them on infrastructure, whether it's paving the roads, putting in handicap accessible sidewalks. Those are the type of leadership skills that we've implemented to do it the right way without giving a single tax dollars to either of those two developers or even picking up the phone with some of the big businesses and being a partner, being on the phone with some of the vice presidents to try to attract these companies in. That is what leadership should be about.
One of your proposals, if elected governor, is to cut the state sales tax from 7% to 5% over 4 years. A lot of money in a state that's always plagued by deficits. How would you pay for that?
It's a gradual drop. I'm going from 7 to 5. 0.5% is about $75 million per year. What I was looking to do is a combination of cuts to personnel. I've mentioned before some of those cuts that I see, these six-figure jobs that the governor's had dotted along, including the press people.
Okay, but does that really get you enough money to do to make that cut?
And if I can finish, Ian, the second part is some of these tax credits that I do not support coming out of Commerce Corporations, a lot of those rebuild RI credits, the millions going in for few construction jobs, for apartment complexes down here in Providence with no lasting sustainable jobs. If we are going to have tax incentive programs coming out of Commerce, it really should be for a sustainable, trackable period, good paying jobs that are long-term lasting. That there are follow-ups because we've seen the missteps from the governor. Alexion left after we gave him some dollars. We also had Pinnacle out of Quonset. We have to be better stewards over our economic development projects and incentives.
You criticize some of the governor's economic moves, but there have been a number of companies that have been attracted to Rhode Island with tax incentives. Can you recall any other governor in recent memory who's attracted as many new businesses to the state?
But the question is, at what cost, though, Ian? And this is why I've been crisscrossing the state, talking to a lot of the business owners. When you talk about she's been out there touting, you know, GE or Johnson & Johnson on her political resume, and that's what I meant, about $80,000 per job or $53,000 per job. You know, you've got small business owners that are languishing out there that have higher fees, higher taxes that they're going through, even during the recession, that felt left out of any type of assistance from this. I want to create a model just like what I've done in Cranston, having a concierge program that will help them from startups to even sustaining their business through expansions.
Mayor, you've been there in Cranston for a decade. Things are running well. But, you know, you have a diverse community, much more diverse community than it was even 10, 15 years ago. And I'm just wondering, in a city with an increasing number of Latino folks and African Americans, how come your firefighters, your fire department has not one person of color and only one woman? That seems pretty ridiculous in the 21st century.
Let me actually correct you. It's actually three women. We've been making progress.
Well, how come no firefighters of color?
We've been actually making a concerted effort.
Yeah, but you've been there for 10 years, and we had Jim Vincent here recently. He said he reached out to you from the NAACP, and you didn't get back to him.
No, that's false. I can absolutely say that's unequivocally false, because we've had Jim in on the police recruitment and having discussion with him on any of the recruitments for many positions.
Well, again, why no firefighters of color?
Our hands are tied because of the classified service. A lot of these positions are tested positions, and not just the physical component. They've got to go through that tested component as well. We are doing more as outreach. We're actually taking a look at the experience that the police department have gone through, and we even have to make some more improvements there on the police department with increasing diversity.
Mayor Fung, research shows that immigrants to the United States commit less violent crime than naturalized citizens. Considering that, why did your campaign release in August a digital ad suggesting a connection between illegal immigration and murder?
Well, hold on. It didn't. It was talking about safe communities, and it was talking about first of all the murder rate just in the state having it as one of the highest in New England. But the tie-in was Mr. De Los Santos. We had an individual who was in custody, who was serving time at the ACI, who was not here legally and should have been out of this country, but because of what type of sanctuary state that we have, he was not deported, and he has contributed even after his release to the opioid crisis, because we just saw he was recently arrested, and I think the Providence Journal did an editorial on the situation involving him. He should have been gone, but yet he's back on the streets.
You told another news organization that you would give President Trump a B, as in Boston, for his job performance. Given how he has been documented to lie a lot compared to the standard politician, how he's made vulgar comments about women, about how a number of his administration have run into trouble, how do you justify that?
Well, I justify it based on his economic policy. And when I did, I think I clarified it, because I did support I do support his tax cuts that he had. We've even seen some of the economic benefits from that tax cut in our local backyard with a couple of the companies here, particularly CVS, that took some of those tax cut savings that they had and reinvested in more jobs. And you're seeing a lot of companies across the country reinvest in either in additional positions or dollars back into the benefits of their own workers. On what you're talking about, how he acts, that's not something that I subscribe to. I don't act in that way. If I did, I wouldn't be the mayor of our state's second largest city. I'm very proud of that fact. We overtook Warwick this past year for 10 years now. I've always governed the right way across the aisle, trying to be respectful of all dialogues and opinion, and most importantly, listen.
The governor obviously is going to run on the improving economy here in Rhode Island. All the metrics show that our unemployment rate is down and we have had some more jobs. How do you plan to counter what you know is going to be her main argument?
It's my continuing track record over 10 years through the tough times to even now the good times. A lot of those policies that I've put in place in Cranston have led to even more job growth. And that's why I call the governor out on her, dishonesty in that first attack ad that she put out, trying to make Cranston look, nowhere near. Anyone that lives in Cranston knows that that ad is false, nowhere near what she's portraying it as. We've got good schools, nationally recognized library system, a great senior center, great parks and amenities. She doesn't learn from her mistakes. UHIP, I mentioned previously, and an ongoing problem, the state's worst computer disaster, to the children that have been hurt in DCYF, and how many of us got caught on that East Bay with Gina Jam on 195 just a couple of weeks ago. The list goes on and on and on. And
every time there's a mistake, she fixed the Gina Jam pretty quickly. I live out there and I drive in every day.
But Scott, were you one of the ones that got caught?
I was.
She wasn't. Yeah, 3 hours it took from the Mass Line to get to Pawtucket, and before, and this is part of the problem. She doesn't coordinate with agencies before. That's what I've done as a chief executive in Cranston. Make sure that those inconveniences don't happen before you implement. We even saw that with UHIP when the feds told her, no, don't go, you're not ready. Even her own internal people said that. She ignored that advice and knew better and went forward. But here's the biggest thing. When I recognize a problem, I fix it. And when we take a look at UHIP, it's still an ongoing problem to this day. No end in sight. $600+ million of our tax dollars that could have been better spent on, maybe avoiding these tolls. Miles of roads, too, being paved.
That's all the time we've got, so we've got to leave it there. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Great to be here.
And Cranston Mayor and Republican gubernatorial nominee, Alan Fung, thank you for joining us.
Nice to be back.